welcome each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Johnny, I'd like to thank you for the introduction. The things that have been on my heart and that I've been studying about, a lot of it we've talked about in Sunday school class this morning also, but I don't feel to change. I'm going to go ahead and bring it to us. I'd like to start really with a verse that kind of speaks my heart, and this is the second book of Nephi, chapter 15, and the 15th verse. And it just says this: "And I pray the Father in the name of Christ that many of us, if not all, may be saved in His kingdom at that great and last day." I was kind of thrilled last week when our brother Brez Brickhouse brought us the sermon, and he spoke on enduring to the end and being faithful. I was driving home from work late Friday, not this past Friday, but the Friday before Buzz spoke. And I was driving home late, and the sky, the sunset was just beautiful. And the Spirit of the Lord rested upon me as I looked at the sunset. And I felt like He was showing me that though we go through so many hardships in life, that sunset can be beautiful when we endure to the end. And I think sometimes when we're inside of it, we don't experience it the same. As I looked at the sunset, it was just a beautiful, beautiful multicolored red sky with little wisps of clouds that went across it, and some of them even looked like, you know, like an ugly scar might look. The times that we go through in our lives that are hard, and they leave scars and so forth. But with the help of God, we get through it, and we hang in there, and we endure to the end. It brought back to my mind our brother Nicholas and the long life that he had. And I remember there were times as a young teenager that I was faltering, having trouble with my faith and feeling like nobody. And he had this ability to walk up to you at church and just speak to you like he was just so pleased to see you and treat you like a young man and not like a child, and reach out and shake your hand like it meant everything to him. And there was something so affirming. And I know as I look back that it was God working through him to encourage me. And I think back about that long life that he lived and the way he helped me. I know he must have helped so many other people. And now he's passed on to his reward. And I think, how beautiful. And I know that he didn't have all good times. I've heard his stories of flying through a terrible storm during the Second World War where people were afraid that the aircraft would be torn apart. And though it was fearful and frightening, the commander asked who was up front, who was flying. And when they said that it was Nick, he said, "Then we'll be okay." So as I looked at this sunset, and I got to thinking about endurance to the end and how beautiful it can be in the sunset of our life if we do endure to the end, in spite of the little scars like clouds that drift across it, We hang in there. We hang in there. We endure to the end. Let me go back now. I'm going to stay right where I was in that 15th chapter of 2 Nephi. And I'm going to go back to the first verse and read through the chapter. It says, "And now I, Nephi, cannot write all the things which were taught by my people, neither am I mighty in writing, like unto speaking. For when a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it into the hearts of the children of men. For behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, that it hath no place in them. Wherefore, they cast many things away which are written, and esteem them as things of naught. But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as of great worth, and especially unto my people." And this gives me, as I begin this reading, great encouragement. It talks about how the Holy Spirit is really what bears into the hearts of men with power the teachings of Jesus. And sometimes I feel so small. I guess all of us really being men, when we try to hold forth the teachings of Jesus and when we try to be a good example, we all are always like Gideon was, greatly outnumbered and very much not up to the task. But by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the working that God does with people through the Holy Ghost, He makes all these things possible. And He speaks to the hearts of men. Where was I? I'll start with the second verse to pick up again. "But behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, that hath no place in them. Wherefore they cast many things away which are written, and esteem them as things of naught." So when people aren't receptive to the Holy Ghost, that's actually when they don't value the things of Jesus. The things, even your good example, they don't value it the same because they reject the Holy Ghost. And I think that we, each of us individually, have to be very careful that we don't, by the things we do or say, reject the influence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Let me go on, verse 3. "But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as of great worth, and especially unto my people. For I pray continually for them by day, and mine eyes water my pillow by night because of them. And I cry unto my God in faith, and I know that He will hear my cry, and I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people. And the things which I have written in weakness will He make strong unto them. For it persuadeth them to do good. It maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth men to believe in Him and to endure to the end, which is life eternal. And I speak harsh against sin, according to the plainness of the truth. Wherefore no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. I glory in plainness. I glory in truth. I glory in my Jesus, for He hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ, that I shall meet many souls spotless at His judgment seat. I have charity for the Jew. I say Jew because I mean them from whence I came. I also have charity for the Gentiles. But behold, for none of these can I hope, except they shall be reconciled unto Christ and enter into the narrow gate and walk in the straight path which leads to life, and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. And now, my beloved brethren, and also Jew, and all ye ends of the earth, hearken unto these words, and believe in Christ. And if ye believe not in these words, believe in Christ, And if ye shall believe in Christ, ye shall believe in these words, for they are the words of Christ. And he hath given them unto me, and they teach all men that they should do good. And if they are not the words of Christ, judge ye. For Christ will shew unto you with power and great glory that they are his words at the last day. And you and I shall stand face to face before his bar. And ye shall know that I have been commanded of him to write these things, notwithstanding my weakness. And I pray the Father in the name of Christ that many of us, if not all, may be saved in his kingdom at that great and last day. Now, my beloved brethren, all they which are of the house of Israel, and all ye ends of the earth, I speak unto you as the voice of one crying from the dust. Farewell until that great day shall come. And you that will not partake of the goodness of God, and respect the words of the Jews, and also my words, and the words which shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the Lamb of God, behold, I bid you an everlasting farewell. For these words shall condemn you at the last day, for what I seal on earth shall be brought against you at the judgment bar. For thus saith the Lord, for thus hath the Lord commanded me, and I must obey. Amen. I think there was a temptation when I was first preparing for the sermon to leave out those last couple of verses, because they speak rather harshly. But as he was commanded by the Lord to bring them to us and to write them down, I felt I couldn't leave them out. We need to understand that the choice that we make to be Christ, to be open and guided by the Holy Spirit, to keep God's commandments, and to serve God until the end of our days, to endure to the end, is a very important choice. And it's not whether or not you get to go to heaven or not. It's whether or not you get to go to heaven or whether you have to go to hell. There's a great gulf, a huge difference in this result. I want to go to the 13th chapter. And I know I'm going to be reading a lot today. I would recommend that you open and read with me so you can stay attentive. I feel like these are very clear words and that you don't need a lot of interpretation. I can just read them to you. So this is 2 Nephi, 13th chapter, and I'm again going to start with the first verse. And now I, Nephi, make an end of my prophesying unto you, my beloved brethren. And I cannot write but a few things, which I know must surely come to pass. Neither can I write but a few of the words of my brother Jacob. Wherefore the things which I have written sufficeth me, save it be a few words which I must speak concerning the doctrine of Christ. Wherefore I shall speak unto you plainly, according to the plainness of my prophesying. For my soul delighteth in plainness. For after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding. For he speaketh unto man according to their language, unto their understanding. Wherefore, I would that ye must remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord shewed unto me that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness, and being baptized by water. Know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he shewed unto the children of man that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after that he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. I do want to stop there because you don't really hear of that type thing happening a lot, where when someone's baptized, you actually see the Holy Ghost descend in the form of a dove. And I believe that the reason this took place at this time was to show something very important that happened at the time. And it was when Jesus had been baptized, it was helping people that didn't understand, that didn't really know all about what was happening, to understand that there was this other baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. And so it literally took place in a visible form, that the Holy Ghost descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And I think that this is one of the things I'd really like to repeat several times during this sermon, that I'd really like to help us ingrain in our hearts and in our minds, is that whatever we're doing, be it in our schoolwork or at work or driving in our car like the O'Haros today, that whatever we're doing, we need to stay in touch. We need to be ever mindful of this gift that we've been given, this gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be open and listening to it. And be careful with the things that we choose to do, that we don't choose to do things that reject the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That, I guess, sear our consciences and blind our eyes to the guidance that the Lord has given us in a very special way by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me go on with this reading. I believe I stopped reading with verse 10, and I'll repeat it to pick up again. Wherefore, after that he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again, it sheweth unto the children of man the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which ye should enter, he having set the example before them. And he saith unto the children of man, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, say we will be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father, that you are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels, and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. And we actually read this this was one of the verses that we read in our Sunday school this morning, and we spoke of it. One of the questions being, you know, really, what is it to speak with the tongue of angels? One of the things I did, if you jump over and look at the 14th chapter of the book of Nephi, of the second book of Nephi, it says, starting with the first verse, "And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you, that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do." And I did appreciate the idea this morning that, I believe it was Toby actually brought it, that feasting on the words of Christ also has a connotation of enjoyment, of literally enjoying studying. It's not a drudgery. It's life-saving. It's for your soul, and it's nourishing and fulfilling. So don't be slothful. Don't be slow to study. Do it every chance you get. Fill yourself. Fill your heart and your mind with the words of Christ. But let me speak a little bit about the speaking with the tongue of angels and speaking the words of Christ. And let me maybe even emphasize it by saying that it doesn't matter what your age is. When you take the commitment to be baptized, there's something that takes place here. It's like a new gift, a new talent, a new responsibility. And I think sometimes we might even try to cop out by saying, "Oh, wait a minute, no, it's just the ministry that speak the words of Christ." But I'm not going to give you that out. When you're baptized and the Holy Ghost descends upon you and you can speak with the tongue of angels, the words of Christ. I looked up angels. And I think sometimes we only think of an angel like a beautiful being with long hair and big wings that flies around. But like if you look it up in Strong's, what was the original Hebrew? What was the original Greek meanings of the word angel? It talks about messengers of God. Think of that. When you're baptized, you come up out of the water and the hands are laid upon you and you receive the Holy Ghost and you become a messenger of God. A messenger of God to your family. A messenger of God to your friends at school. To your co-workers at work. To your friends. Another word it used was ambassador. You become an ambassador of Christ. And you speak His words. By the gift and power of the Holy Ghost, like an angel. I want to say to you, when you think on these things, if it's a frightening thing to you to think of the responsibility that way, I think it's altogether fitting. But have faith. and stand forth just as you committed, and go ahead and fill that responsibility. Be a new man, a new woman, a new person, a new type of servant of God, by letting the message of Jesus come forth to all around you by the things that you say and do. It's part of what happens when you're baptized. Let me go on with this reading. I'm going to go... where did I stop? Did I read verse 17? Yeah, I'll repeat it to start the reading again. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost. And then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins, and witness unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For for this cause have they been shewn unto me, that they might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesseth of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye shall receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God, without end. Amen. I want to remind you something we talked about in Sunday school, and it has to do with this perfect brightness of hope that we just were instructed about here. And turning to Corinthians, that 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians 12th chapter, and I just want to remind you that it's in the first of the 12th chapter, that second verse, in the third verse, did ye know that ye are Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led? It says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The thing that strikes me when I read that is that, you know, I've known lots of people who speak of Christ, and that I sincerely believe that in honesty that they do believe in Christ, and they do believe that He is the Lord. And it says here that can't happen save by the Holy Ghost. And the reason I want you to think about that in relation to a perfect brightness of hope, when you think of being baptized and the responsibility of that, and speaking with the tongue of angels and speaking the words of Christ, I think sometimes our heart becomes a little downcast because people don't want to listen so many times. But I want to tell you that there are people that are trying. There are people that believe that Jesus is Lord. And that's by the power of the Holy Ghost that happens, as it's written here. And that you have that advantage. That God is working with people. And so when you speak, don't marvel that they may not necessarily just accept what you say. And understand that, you know, even as Paul spoke, that the example would be that you might be planting a seed. A seed that somebody else will come along and will water. And that in all cases, it's God who gives the increase. He works with people by the power of the Holy Ghost to give the increase. And it's to His glory, not to ours. And I think sometimes it's a gift that we don't get to see the results all the time. It's a gift because we don't get wrapped up or we don't get prideful in the little piece that we got to have in the conversion of somebody else. Time's getting by me in a hurry. I'm turning to James now. Reading in James in the second chapter, and I'm going to start with the 14th verse of that second chapter. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not these things, which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." And I think as we think about what do we do as we, once we've entered into that path, what is keeping His commandments? We can't forget what we might even consider small things. The things that actually we've read about several times, the feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. When it talks about the eternal judgment, that's one of the great examples it gives, you know, that it says, you know, come and enter into your rest because I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. And you say, well, when did I do that? And he says, when you did it to one of these, the least of my children, you did it unto me. And yes, I'm paraphrasing. I'm saying that from memory. But that is the message. And that we can't forget that. And faith without works is just like when one of those hungry comes to you and you just say, well, you know, go your way and be fed, and you don't do something about it. Keeping his commandments involves doing something about it. It's a new way of life, a new way to live. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. And I think of that. Sometimes it seems like a frequent message that's given out today. I listen to Christian radio a lot, and I hear this repeatedly. Just believe. That's all you have to do. Just believe. And it says here that the devil also believes and trembles. And so what do we better than he, if that's all that we do? Let me go on with verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Just recalling to you that story a little bit, Rahab the harlot actually helped God's disciples to escape when the people came to her door. She sent them out another way and hid them. So what she did was life-saving. I want to go ahead with James, the third chapter, and bring a couple more things to you. I'm going to start with the first verse. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And this is going to speak a little bit more about what I was talking about, being careful that you don't do things in your life that close your ears and your eyes to the Holy Spirit. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a great member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed, of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And I want to back up and just say a few words. And I'm one to speak frankly and without accusation. It's not that I am wanting to point the finger at anybody, even more than myself. But when we go to church and we might hear a sermon, and on the drive home, we speak ill of the person who was given the sermon. Or when we get together with friends and we begin to talk about somebody that's having problems, and it can so easily become the type of thing where you're starting to say, well, you know, I actually remember times even when they were younger that they did this or they did that. And it slowly begins to, like, I guess you would say, fester into a discussion that's really not for the benefit of the person you're talking about. It's derogatory. I heard an awful story about a person who was living in Texas, and they became very ill and needed one of the elders to come and administer to them. And there was literally a minister in the area at the time, and they wouldn't call him because of something that they heard from somebody else about that person. And this was years ago. I heard about it when I was young. But the awfulness of the story is the result that happens when we do this. We begin to speak ill. We begin to put forth bitter water. And when we think about faith and works, this putting forth of stories, this pointing of the finger, is an awful ill. It's an awful ill to the church. It's an awful ill to our relationships. It's damaging. And it's not of the Holy Spirit. It's contrary to it. And as you read on, it really talks about the source of it. It kind of comes out of the lust of our flesh. It comes out of our own pride, our own envying. So I'll start reading with verse 14 again. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. As I would like to conclude, I think I'd like to offer you a practical thing, and I'd like for you to remember this, because I think that the opportunity that I guess I would use the word gossip, I think that comes to us often. And so I'd like to offer you maybe an example and an idea of how you might be able to break that cycle when it comes your way. I'm going to turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and just to give you a little setting that this happens in, the first of this chapter starts with I guess you'd call it the plot to betray Jesus, where Judas agrees with the high priest that he will find a way to betray Jesus. So this is at his very last hours where this takes place, and I think I will skip over to Luke 22, and I'll start reading with the 31st verse. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." Let me say a bit more about this. This is the beginning of the discussion where Jesus tells Peter that he's going to deny him three times. And so, you know, Jesus sees that in... He sees what Peter's going to do. He sees a weakness in him. And he doesn't use it as an occasion to say, well, you know, then I'm better than you, or that, well, that makes you less than others. He said, you know, I see that the devil would have you to sift you as wheat. So I pray for you that your faith fail not. And then he said, and when thou art converted, when thou art changed, or when you get it, strengthen thy brother. So I believe he was actually telling Luke to do the same. That there actually was a strife among the 12 at the time, which one would be greatest once Jesus left, as he said he would. And he said, you know, this should not be so among you. That it's that way in the world, but among you it should not be so. And this is the example that I'd like for you to think about. That when somebody comes before you and they're talking about a brother, and it begins to get derogatory, tell them straightway that the example that Jesus gave was that if we're going to talk about this, then we need to bow and pray about it. And don't let it ever go by differently. When you hear the crowd start to talk about these things and they begin to get derogatory, you'll say, okay, now, Jesus said to Peter, when he knew that he was in trouble, that he had fault, that he would pray for him, that his faith fail not. So we must agree in prayer for this person now. And I think you'll change the tone. I think you'll set a new day for those folks. And if not, you'll at least be very obnoxious. But I would I would harrow your heart up to thinking with singleness of mind to remain walking under the direction of the Holy Ghost, to be under the direction of the Spirit at all times, and not let these other things make you begin to put out a different kind of message and not follow that Holy Spirit by doing other things such as gossip, etc. So, my prayer is for you, and I ask that you would pray for me too, that my eye would be single towards Jesus Christ, and that I would constantly be open to the guidance and of the Holy Spirit, and that I would serve Him in all my ways. And my prayer would be likewise for you. I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. And can we all bow our heads in prayer? Dear God, thank you so much for these words. And help us to put them on our hearts and keep them fresh in our minds. Help us to be an encouragement and a strength to each other. And where we see faults, let us not give judgment, but encouragement and prayer. We ask for your blessings as we go through the changes that are before us, both with the government, the economy, our lives, and help us to focus on the piece of our lives that we can impact to make that better, so that you might use us all to make a better world. And this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.
I love you.
Uncle Jerry?
Yes.
This is Katie.
Katie, are you there?
I can't hear him. Uncle Jerry?
Yes.
I just wanted to say something. I wanted to say it during your preaching or whatever, but Mom's like, no, wait till after. But, I just wanted to say, I was thinking about what you were saying about worshiping and stuff. Well, uh-huh. I was gonna say, don't take worshiping to the Lord a burden to your life.
Right. You're saying don't. Worshiping the Lord we do out of joy.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. Out of gratitude.
Alright. Thanks.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you too,
Gary. Love you guys.
Bye.
Thanks, Gary.
Welcome.
I guess we'll leave the conference too. God love Katie.
Thanks, Jerry and Cindy. Are you there?